Good morning. This is Darrell Gunter, your host for leadership on WSOU 89.5 FM and streaming on the net at WSOU.net. Well, I'm so pleased to have a colleague of mine back on the program, Mr. Robert Bob Whitehair. He's the chief research scientist for Volcane. And we're going to talk about a topic that he's been involved with this topic since the late 80s, and it's about AI. So, Bob, welcome to the program, and thank you for coming on to talk about causal AI and the capabilities of the Volcane AI platform. Before we jump into that, for those who didn't hear your last interview, shame on them, could you share with our audience a little bit about your education and background?
Sure, I'd be happy to. I have a bachelor's from Michigan State in computer science. Darrell, I'm sorry, I'm getting a lot of feedback.
Are you? Oh.
Yeah.
It's good on my end.
All right, let me just try it. Okay, it's gone now. Okay, so my bachelor's is from Michigan State. I have several degrees from Michigan State. I have a bachelor's in computer science, and I don't know, either a dual bachelor's in economics and statistics, or I completed multiple bachelor's degrees. And then I have a PhD from the University of Massachusetts at Amherst.
Uh-huh.
And the common theme through all of this is computational linguistics. So I've been teaching and designing formal languages for 40 years.
Wow, that is awesome. That is awesome. And so what are the different, let's start with some basics first. What is the different types of AI?
Well, this is a great topic. And, you know, for people who are into this, there's no answer to that question. The AI, what we often mean by AI is something related to Alan Turing and the Turing test. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the idea is we want to somehow mimic or replicate human intelligence. And I'd suggest that may not be such a good idea, because humans are forgetful. They get emotional. Their perception isn't that great. On the other hand, there are things that humans do astonishingly well, things like facial recognition and creativity and, again, emotions. You know, you don't ever want a machine to try to match a human. Humans are the perfect emotional machine. You don't want to try to improve on that. So usually what you really mean when you say AI, you really mean some form of advanced reasoning or advanced mathematical process that allows you to make better decisions or to automate a process that humans are often, it's a non-trivial activity that a human would do, like a support desk would be a good example.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that was, there are many, many, when you get into AI, there's thousands of variations on the theme of AI.
Well, you know, I find it fascinating that you've been involved with AI your whole career. I just got involved with it back in 2007. And now ChatGPT comes along November of, I guess, 2022. Now everybody is ChatGPT generative. What are the limitations of ChatGPT?
Well, ChatGPT doesn't actually reason. So it doesn't ponder. And what humans do really well is, in the academic world, we try to create taxonomies of reasoning. You know, you try to come up with a really good definition of what it means to do a certain kind of reasoning. So I'll give you an example. Reasoning about uncertainty. ChatGPT doesn't do that. Humans do that quite well. So if you give a human, if they're faced with a decision that's difficult, a human will stop and say, I have choice A and choice B, and choice A has a much greater upside than choice B, but they both have the same downside if I'm wrong. So I'll go with the one with the higher upside. Then in other situations, you'll have a disparity in the downside. One of them might be, well, if I go that direction, I'm going to fly off that cliff and crash into the ocean 300 feet below.
Right.
Well, don't do that. You know, go take the other option, whatever it is. So humans can do that kind of reasoning. ChatGPT doesn't do anything like that. So if you're a medical doctor, if you are an insurance executive, if you're a fintech, if you're making investment decisions, you have to stop and reason about not, you know, you don't want to look at a number. You don't want to look at a red dot or a green dot and make your decision based on that. You know, the physician is going to look and say, well, you know, we could conceivably cure your condition if we do the following. On the other hand, you could die. So, you know, do you want to limp the rest of your life or do you want to risk a procedure that could end in your death? And, you know, humans do that really well. AI can't really do that right now. I don't know that it ever will, but ChatGPT cannot do that kind of reasoning.
Right. You know, I guess the one good thing that ChatGPT has done is that it's opened everyone's eyes to AI and the possibilities. When I lecture to different classes, I share with them the story about Alan Turing and, you know, and how AI came about. And then I say, well, where's the Star Trek fans? They go, yeah, I'm a Star Trek fan. When Captain Kirk goes, computer, that's AI, you know.
Yeah, it is. A good way to think of AI is it's sophisticated processing. It's sophisticated reasoning. And you know, really, going into the future, you do not want AI to mimic a human. That's a bad objective. Humans are just fine the way they are. You know, just let humans be humans, and then let's try to automate all the things humans don't want to do. That's really what we should. That's what our objective should be.
Never heard it expressed like that, Bob. That's brilliant.
Well, think of humans as living machines. You're not going to improve on a human in terms of you know, creating the machine that is capable of living to its fullest extent. And we really should just be using automated tech, you know, any kind of technology that lightens the burden on humans is, in my opinion, it's a good thing. You know, humans should be hiking and exploring and dancing and singing and all that good stuff, and let the machines do all the housework and all the road paving and all the, you know, all the things humans don't really want to do.
So let's talk about the Volcane platform, which is very exciting. From your opinion, from where you're sitting, being the founder and working with all of the developers, what are the main attributes of the Volcane AI platform?
What we've done in Volcane, this is a project that we've had going for quite a while. The goal of it is to capture, this is going to sound grandiose, but it'll put it in good perspective. We want to capture the entirety of the domain experts' understanding of causal knowledge, causal relationship. What causes stock prices to go up and down? What causes a person to have kidney failure? What what causes earthquakes in California? Mm-hmm. And I'll compare it. There's people who are familiar with AI will know who Doug Lennett was. He passed away last year, and he created and he inspired a lot of people, and he had a project called Psych. And what they were trying to do is capture the world's knowledge in the form of rules.
Mm-hmm.
And they did some pretty cool things. What we're doing is we're capturing causal knowledge in the form of computational grammars. And these are, we've had pretty amazing results. It's not, let's just point out, it's not easy. It's a difficult thing to do. But we've had quite a few commercial deployments over the last 30 years. amazing results. We have some a sales promotion optimization solution that is state of the art. There's nothing like it, and it's representative of the kind of thing you can do with causal AI. So what causal AI will do is it will understand a behavior. It'll understand a basic behavior that you're interested in. And, you know, we get pushed into fintech, we get pushed into medical. And I feel we do more good in medical, but if, you know, fintech is usually financial analysis is usually more intuitive. People can understand it. You know, you want to be able to tell which stock prices are going up, which ones are going down, and by how much and when, you know, things like that. So we can understand what is causing those behaviors. We can understand why stock prices are behaving the way they do.
Mm-hmm.
And what it comes down to is when we do prediction in our system, we're taking these causal factors and we're creating an interpretation of what's happening in the market.
Mm-hmm.
So one interpretation might be, oh, look, Warren Buffett is accumulating Bank of America. Or, oh, look at this. It looks like Intel is buying their stock back.
Mm-hmm.
So once we have that, once we understand what's happening, once, you know, we know the intent of the actors in the domain. Once we know what they're trying to achieve, now we can do very accurate predictions. So when we do a prediction, it's not necessarily a numerical only. We're not doing linear regression. You know, we're not using a purely numerical method. We're making a prediction based on understanding the objective of an actor in that domain. So we, you know, if you know that Warren Buffett is accumulating Bank of America, you can pretty confidently buy Bank of America stock,
mm-hmm.
knowing that, you know, one of the greatest investors of all time is accumulating it. Sure, you could spend hours and hours analyzing it, but if you think you're going to out-analyze Warren Buffett, forget it. You know, just do what he does. But the trick is he doesn't like people to know what he's doing. But we can figure it out. And sorry, I don't want that to sound like a challenge to Warren Buffett, but we can literally figure out what stocks are being accumulated, at what level. You know, we can even come up with a pretty good guess as to who's doing it, things of that nature.
I would love for you to share your screen and show us the Golden Cross. I think that is so exciting.
Do you want to see it from the beginning? Do you want to?
Yeah, let's take it. Let's take it from the beginning. Yeah.
All right. Okay, hold on. Let me.
You know, for those who want to catch the video of this on our YouTube channel, will be up later on this month. But to see Bob go through the Golden Cross, it is really, really amazing stuff.
Okay, so what I'll do all right, so
you just have to hit the green share screen button.
Yeah. How about now? Are we seeing?
Yes.
Okay, so this is our development platform. We call our development platform, it's Umonix Causal AI platform. And what we're going to do is we're going to capture some knowledge. So the Golden Cross is a well-known event. It's a force. So we talk in terms of force vectors.
Mm-hmm.
So Golden Cross represents a force vector. The force is sentiment. And what you're looking for in a Golden Cross is this pattern where you have a short-term moving average crossing over a long-term moving average. And when you see this, Investopedia will tell you you should buy this asset.
Mm-hmm.
because over the next period of time, it's going to go up. And experts in the, you know, actual people who know the financial analysis will tell you this pattern is fractal. So the, you know, this could be a day, a week, a month, you know, but it doesn't really matter the length of the time period that this pattern is expected to hold. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to come into our development center. So each of these centers is where we're developing causal knowledge related to a different domain. Mm-hmm. And we're doing everything from elections to climate to healthcare, insurance, a lot of different, a lot of different analyses are going on here. We're capturing knowledge from a lot of different domains. And one of the really exciting things about our platform is once you've captured that knowledge, it's like a block, it's like a unit, and you can use it anywhere. Wow. So we can very quickly create solutions by taking blocks of knowledge from different domains and combining them. So what we're going to do now is I'm going to show you very quickly how we capture knowledge. So this is a tool called Trend Explorer. And for anyone who's, I don't know, I hesitate to do this, Daryl, but I'm going to do it anyway. What we do with Trend Explorer is we define non-terminals in a grammar. Okay. So what I'm about to do, it may not look like it, but I'm creating elements of a computational grammar.
Okay.
All right. So what I'm going to do, so right now in the Vulcane system, we have access to many, many, many data sets from different sources. So we have, you know, cryptocurrency, we have population, demographic data, a lot of macroeconomic data, a lot of climate data, travel data. We got all kinds of fun stuff in here. Mm-hmm. So you can find FRED is a Federal Reserve Economic Database. We have Moody's data. But we're going to start with just trading data from the S&P 500. And we'll do Apple.
Okay.
Everyone's interested in Apple. So the way we capture knowledge, we use formal hypothesis testing.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to build a representation of the theory that when you see a golden cross, the price will go up, and then we're going to test it.
Mm-hmm.
So the way we do this is I have to add some features. So features AI speak, the input to an AI learning mechanism is often called a feature or a feature set. Mm-hmm. So everything you see here, these are features.
Right.
And for the, again, for those who care about such things, we treat these as sentential forms.
Okay.
So we're looking at a language. So what, you know, this is something, this is an understandable, parsable language, all these numbers. And let me just do this. And all right, so here's another simple moving average, but this is going to be our long-term moving average. And in our system, we have several hundred of these feature functions, so you can put these analyses together very quickly. And here, what we're going to create is a golden cross.
Mm-hmm.
And we have, there's actually a pre-existing function called a crossover. So I can just use it. And now we have a golden cross.
Wow. Just that simple. Wow.
Just that simple. And we, you know, for people in the fintech community, we do literally any analysis that you do, we can replicate. You know, MACD, there's some that are copyrighted, so I won't mention them, but we can do them. So any analysis that you might be doing, we can do. Now, here's the hypothesis. Oh, well, first of all, if you look, this data goes back 30, 40 years. So back then, you know, Apple stock price, after all, you know, this is all you know, it's been split adjusted. So yeah. I don't want to deal with the pennies. We're going to, we're going to deal with, we're only going to look at activities since 2010. And if you, for any reason, don't believe the analysis you're about to see, you're welcome to come in and change these dates or change the parameters to whatever extent you wish. Okay. Here's what we're trying to show. We want to know when Apple stock price is going to go up. So the behavior we're interested in is Apple's closing price. So you see this little word target. So this is what we're trying to predict. We're trying to understand the behavior of Apple's stock price. So my theory is when there's a golden cross, Apple's stock price is going to go up. So we're going to test that theory. We'll put in a condition. You'll notice the golden cross is either one or zero. And I'll just say, well, if it's greater than zero, you have a golden cross.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And you'll notice that the PPV, this is actually a signal vector. Mm-hmm. This is not just one number. And I currently have it set to the positive predictive value.
Okay.
And it's 57%. And that's kind of disappointing. If you read Investopedia, Investopedia will tell you that this is a very accurate, very useful mechanism. And yet for Apple, it's only accurate 57% of the time.
Ooh.
Now, this is signal. So this is giving me direction.
Mm-hmm.
I also want to understand magnitude.
Mm-hmm.
So the magnitude here is not particularly good. It's 7%. Mm-hmm. So what this is telling me is when you see a golden cross, it'll go up. Apple's stock price will go up an average of 7 cents more than expected. Mm-hmm. So Apple is expected to go up about 94 cents a month. When you see a golden cross, it goes up $1.01. And frankly, that's boring. I don't find that particularly compelling.
Mm-hmm.
What we emphasize is... I'm going to save this. We might want to come back to it. I'll just call it. Well, actually, yeah. We'll do another experiment real quick.
Mm-hmm.
When you're building a grammar, you know, you don't want to do one instance of something. You want to do many. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take this test golden cross, mm-hmm. and I'm going to apply it to every member of the S&P 500. So I'm going to pick this thing we just built. First I'll pick the database, and I'm just going to apply it to every element of this database. So this is more interesting if you're doing medical research. So what we can do in medical research is we can take a population of patients and we can do thousands of hypothesis tests. Mm-hmm. In a matter of a few minutes, millions within an hour.
Wow.
But what I'm going to do here is I'm going to apply that little model we built to every stock in the S&P 500.
Mm-hmm.
And the question I'm trying to understand is, okay, it didn't do so great with Apple. It wasn't that good a predictor for Apple. But maybe there's something special about Apple. You know, maybe because it's so popular, because there's so much volume, it behaves differently. So this is a knowledge repository. I can take any of these knowledge repositories and combine them with any other knowledge repository, and everything works together. And you'll see this is a ticker symbol is now appended to that test golden cross thing we created. And I can do a quick search. And we're probably almost done applying that to everything in the S&P 500. And I can ask a very simple question. What is the PPV value? How many of them have a PPV value greater than 60? Mm-hmm. So 60, we can do this another call if people really care. 60 is a magic number if you're doing predictions on stocks.
Okay.
All right, I did something wrong there because I saw some that were.
Mm-hmm. And of course, someone who is involved with option trading and trading stocks, I mean, this just gives them a whole different, like a playground of looking at data in different ways.
Yes.
Formulations. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what I did wrong just there, but I, let me try this again. There's a user error. That's what you get for asking me to do this live. Yeah. No, where this has immense value is if you're an actual professional, because what you'll find is professionals have many, many theories that they believe work, but they really should test them. Mm-hmm. So what you're looking at here is we have out of the S&P 500, 229 have a positive predictive value greater than 60 using the Golden Cross. And what that means is the Golden Cross is actually a pretty good predictor. You do want to use it in your analyses. And you'll notice some of these are 100% accurate.
Okay.
But I'll just show you where the fun really starts. What I showed you was very simple.
Bob, believe it or not, we have 2 minutes left.
Okay, well, here's what happens when you get actual domain experts involved.
Mm-hmm.
What you're going to get here is an accuracy of 80%. Yep.
Wow.
So, and the magnitude, this is the same. It's now the magnitude is 360%. So I just wanted to throw that in there and just show you what the potential is when, you know, the question you asked her all was perfect. If you put this in the hands of an actual domain expert, they can find high value causal relationships very, very quickly.
Wow, this is exciting. This is very, very, very exciting. And so what are your projections for Volcane this year?
We're currently working in at least 10 different industries, and the solutions that we're developing in each industry, they're going to disrupt it, or just, you know, with insurance and parametric insurance, we're going to create entirely new insurance products for many, many companies. Healthcare, you know, what we can do in healthcare is very exciting. Fintech, climate, consumer packaged goods. Every industry where we're working, we're kind of revolutionizing how they do analyses and how they view their industry.
You know, there was a report that I read recently that said, Cindy Gold actually had quoted it as well, that said that a data scientist at a typical company, they spend about 80% of their time trying to ferret through the data, whereas the Volcane platform will allow them to do what would take them hours to do in minutes.
Correct. Yeah. So the reason it's taken us so long to build this platform is that layer, that bottom layer where you harmonize the data, is fiendishly difficult to get that to work right. So yes, what works so well with Volcane is all these databases I'm showing you, they're all harmonized. So I can pull data from any of these and combine it with data from any other database, and it's consistent. It works together.
Wow.
And it's very, very difficult to do that. If you haven't tried it, I think I'm not showing my screen anymore, but I think you get the idea. Yeah. Harmonizing the data so you can do those analyses in minutes takes an enormous amount of effort.
Well, Bob, I want to thank you for coming on the program and also be brave enough to do a live demo as well.
Monday. It's Monday, and we really tempted the dragon there, and I think we got off pretty easy.
That's right. That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank our guest, Mr. Bob Whitehair. He's the chief research scientist for Volcane, and he is talking about causal AI. Bob, thank you for coming on the program.
Darrell, thank you. It's always a pleasure.
Ladies and gentlemen, that wraps it up for this week on Leadership with Darrell Gunter on WSOU 89.5. If you missed any part of this interview, feel free to go to Podbean to listen to the entire podcast. Have a great day, but remember, leadership begins with you.